I meant to bring over a book I'm reading, I forgot. And it's called God Stories. And it's just each page is a little story where something happened. It's another way to say an inbreaking of the kingdom of God. Something happened to someone. It was a voice that they heard, an urge that they felt to do or to say something, or not to do or say something that might have been inappropriate. Some movement of the Holy Spirit, some palpable experience that compelled them, like being sent out to say or do by way of faith and good works. Reading it, and it's everyday stuff, very reassuring. And who doesn't need that in this day and age? I was thinking of a film that I saw once upon a time, and it was a foreign film festival that was done in Sarasota, Florida. And among them was something that's become a classic in Catholic circles. It's simply called Thérèse, meaning Saint Teresa of Lisieux, the little flower. And it was done, interestingly enough, by a father and a daughter whose last name is Casanova. I don't know that it's any relation. And they're avowed atheists, living in France, have a film company. And according to the review of Thérèse, they made it because they were fascinated with this woman who was the patron saint of France and foreign missions that had such a compulsion, just compelled to give what she calls, in her little way, a self-surrender, to totally give of self to a radical degree. And the word radical, it means, of course, to go to the base root of things, to be deeply rooted in something. And there's a pivotal scene that very much moved me. It's in black and white, and it's the night before the 15-year-old Thérèse is entering Carmel. She was raised in this house with her father and mother and an array of sisters who also become religious. The mother has died when Teresa was a child of breast cancer. She's the baby of the family and the apple of her father's eye. But she has insisted, and you probably know the story, that she must enter Carmel. At the age of 15, even then as well as today, it's much too young. It's a long, whole story about how she got her way. But she was compelled to do this. And so it's the night before she enters the convent. She can't sleep. And so it shows her going from room to room in this home, and kind of standing in the threshold of each of them and saying goodbye. Goodbye to the kitchen, goodbye to the living room, goodbye to the fireside where she had many warm evenings with her family, storytelling, praying, etc. And she's walking down the hall, and it shows her father, who is now a saint, Saint Louis Martin, as is the mother of Thérèse, a saint. And she's going down the hall, and it shows St. Louis, her father, in bed. And he's weeping these copious tears. His baby is leaving for good. And he hears her coming down the hall, and so he pretends he's asleep. And she opens up the door, and this light from the hallway is shining on him. And she steps in, doesn't quite go into the room, but she simply says, "Goodbye, Papa." And she closes the door. And then he lets out this gut-clenching sob. And he throws this sheet over his face, and from underneath the covers he says, "Jesus, your love is ferocious." I love that scene because it's very scriptural, you know. There's two images of the Holy Spirit that are given to the people of God, both Old and New Testament. Number one, he is this gentle, cool whisper, the Holy Spirit is. And number two, he is this fire that comes upon people. That's why we were red. Of course, today it's a symbol of the fire of the Holy Spirit, the fire of God's love overwhelming and dynamic and rich that overcame the 12 apostles and our Blessed Mother in the room where they had had the Last Supper and filled them with coraggio, courage, brave love, so much so that they were compelled to go out, as we are compelled to go out in our own way, according to our situation in life, but for them radically to go out. Their fear has disappeared. They're no longer afraid of anyone. And they go out and they begin in this outside of this place where the Last Supper was to speak during Passover, where all kinds of people in the nations, you heard about it in the first reading, were there, and they spoke in languages that certain people understood who spoke those languages. It was glossolalia, it's called in the scriptures. Glossolalia is a gift of the Holy Spirit that means the gift of tongues. And from there, as the birthday of the church, it began to spread out and out and out, and radically they went out, fearlessly in the marketplace, many times threatened, imprisoned, beaten, like St. Paul was later. But still they held to that radical, ferocious love that we are invited to and to act on and to keep nurturing inside of our own body, mind, spirit, soul. Because we have that ferocious Holy Spirit that is the fire of love. There's another spirit that is the opposite. It's the spirit of fury, full of anger and rage and jealousy and envy of the human condition. Because we have a possibility and a potential, because God incarnated in the human condition. They who were purely angelic turned their backs and rebelled against God. And now they are condemned forever to a terrible punishment. So it is said in the teaching of the mysticism of the church that the devil mostly acts out of gross envy and jealousy of the human condition, especially of the Blessed Mother, because when it was revealed to heaven that he was going to create man, that is, God was going to create man, and he told them the story of salvation, that someday he would especially touch a creature, a woman, and fill her up with the incarnation of the Son. And the whole mystery of salvation was exposed to them. Lucifer and his ilk, full of pride, refused to bend, to honor creatures that were just passing through, that they would sin against the Most High God, and yet he would redeem them. And so he rebelled, and the rest is salvation history. But to get to the point of God stories, this is our God story, and one of our best today, about the coming of the Holy Spirit. But we all have our God stories. We're supposed to be filled at moments with a ferocious love. That means that I speak against or act out against that which our society or culture or others around us know that it is sinful and far from God and wounds the Lord's heart and victimizes other people, whatever that might be. Our ferocious love calls us to act against that, to speak against it. The word prophet, which we're all anointed in baptism with the Holy Spirit, to be priests, prophets, and kings, means that we, speaking the mind of God, act and speak out against that which is in our culture, in the world, that is amoral or immoral or without virtue and rather full of vice. It's a constant conflict that we have. And so in being faithful to that ferocious love, we can still sense him palpably. It's kind of like a cool wind that's breathing and moves us and again compels us to say, to do, to act. A time that was kind of a cool breeze in my own family, I remembered. My mother always talked about this. When I was growing up in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, and was about 8 years old, my brother was 5 years older, much bigger and heavier than I was. We had bunk beds in our bedroom, and we were always fighting over who was going to sleep on the top and who was going to sleep on the bottom. So my father got us together to talk about negotiating this so we would take turns, pacify us. My mother woke up from a dead sleep, she would tell us. And she loved those family stories that parents tell you about when you were younger, or maybe not, if they're particularly embarrassing. She woke up in the middle of the night, she didn't know why, and she sat up and she listened. She didn't know what she was listening for, but there was high alert, she said. So she got up and put on her bathrobe, and she wandered down the hall. My sister's rooms were on one side. Our shared bedroom for the boys was on the other side. The doors were closed. She listened. She couldn't think of anything. Why am I up? Why am I looking like this? She opened up the door to our bedroom, and she stepped in. And she looked around, and she was standing right next to our bunk beds. In this particular case, my heavier brother was on the top. I was sleeping on the lower bunk. All of a sudden, as she was about to turn around, she heard this snap. And just in time, she saw what was happening is that the higher bunk was about to collapse into the lower bunk. And she reached over and caught that. And imagine saving me in that moment from being crushed by my older brother. That's kind of one of those palpable experiences of the Holy Spirit. Something, a suggestion that is made. A desire that you have all of a sudden for the good or to do the good. A moment whenever you become on high alert. It's something happening. As a matter of fact, in the seminary, we were all told by our Franciscan teachers that that's how Francis would describe his conversion. He was praying in a burned-down church. It still had a cross beam, but the roof was gone. There was a cross hanging down, a crucifix, and he knelt down to say a prayer. He didn't know what he was going to do in his life at 21 years old, and he asked the cross, the crucifix, to speak to him. And the rest is salvation history, because he heard a voice that said, "Go, Francis, and repair my church, for it is falling down." First he went out and he began to repair that chapel. And then it occurred to him, a voice said. It wasn't that a moment, concrete experience of the chapel. The church was becoming more and more corrupt. Go out and confront. Preach the good news and call those who are in charge to the holiness and accountability and the ferocious love that is part of their ordination or religious life. He changed the church, along with St. Dominic, who was a constituent of his. It's a God story. It's also close to someone like the friars here, because it's one of those signs that we share with each other, but there are many signs, I'm sure you had them in your own life, where something happened. A God story happened. But then again, remember, you are a God story. You're made in the image and likeness of God. According to the scriptures, he's known you forever before you were in your mother's womb. And he gave you a particular call, a vocatio, if you will. And that can break out into many talents and skills, obligations, and ministries that we take on, like the ministry fair here today, you might be so moved to be involved in. The whole point of it is, what's happening to your God story? We hope that the Holy Spirit is the pen, and we are the paper, and he's writing the script for us. But then there's our will. We can go in and erase certain portions because they aren't palatable to my spoiled will. And that's when we begin to get in trouble. And my ferocious love of God can become tepid and even grow cold. And God always warns us about that. This is why we stay close to the fire of the seven sacraments. This is why we receive his fire, if you will, his ferocious love in Holy Communion. This is why we dip into the scriptures, this ferocious love of his that is in print. And not only is it filled with the stories of Jesus Christ, it is inspired. But then, so are you, and so are we. And so continue to cooperate with the will of God and doing his will, and write your own God story as your life goes on. And please, God, may it be filled with many heroes, many champions, even saints, that any tragedies or drama or trauma that goes on, they manage to be resolved in the fullness of time with our reliance on Christ. who says, in the end, all things will be well. And we especially look forward to something that I think we all enjoy in life or fiction or fantasy, whatever we're reading or watching. It's called a happy ending. It's called the good news. We pray that the good Lord will pour out his Holy Spirit on the whole world this day, the birthday of the Catholic Church, especially to break the backbone continually of the devil and to align our wills to his so that his will may be done.